Hello, good evening to all of you. It's a chut, it's a privilege to be able to join you here tonight in this evening of preparation and anticipation of the Yom Tov of Shavuot, the holiday in which we are given the Torah, the most anticipated of our days on the Jewish calendar. After all, we've been counting for weeks. We will have counted for 7 weeks before the celebration of the Torah. It's something we anticipate, something that we profoundly look forward to. And this evening, which is to further enhance the building of anticipation for this gift of Torah, it is a privilege to be able to play a part together with you in it, in engaging in this. I want to share with you a little bit about what it is that we're looking forward to. And to continue on the beautiful words that Rabbi Weisbord shared about what exactly is found within this gift of the Torah. The idea that when God gave us the Torah, when Hashem gave us and granted us this wonderful gift of his Torah, it was the ultimate expression of his love. You know that 54 years ago, the Jewish people regained access to be able to go to the place of the Beit HaMikdash, to the Kotel HaMaravi, to the Western Wall. When Hashem, with his kindness, gave us that access back after the Six-Day War. So I want to share with you a story. I happened, as Rabbi mentioned, I was sitting in Yerushalayim, not far away from that spot. At not the easiest of times, I want to share with you really a favorite story of that time. It's a story about a great, great Rosh Yeshiva, a great teacher of Torah of our time, whose name is Rav Asher Arieli. Rav Asher Arieli is a Rosh Yeshiva, a teacher of Torah here in Yerushalayim, perhaps gives the largest Torah study class, the largest shiur in the world. Some 700-800 young men, serious young men, hear his Torah shiur every single day. He's a person of magnificent refinement, a person in whom we see the transformative capacity of Torah. He pursues the truth of Torah humbly and sincerely, and it's something which clearly has transformed his character. Rav Asher was a very young man. He was a boy when the Jewish people regained this access to the Kotel HaMaravi to be able to come to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. And he, his father, his family, didn't live in Jerusalem, didn't live in Yerushalayim. They lived in Bnei Brak. But they, like all of the Jewish people who were able to, when granted that opportunity, they came to Yerushalayim, to the place of the Beis HaMikdash. They came, especially on Shavuot, and they came to Srid Beit Mikdashenu, to the remnant that we have of our holy temple, and they came to pray. The young Asher Arieli came with his father, understood they were coming, they were supposed to pray, and he tugged at his father's sleeve, and he said, "Abba, what should I be praying for? You know that children, even children who know how to daven and how to pray, when we teach them how to pray, we usually just teach them what it says in the book. We show them what you say first and what you say next, the script. When people came and when people come to the Kotel, very often it's not the time for a scripted prayer. It's not the time for a minyan. At that time, I don't know what time of day particularly he came, but people were just coming and praying for something that they wanted. And this child, purely and innocently, said, understood, his father had made with him the trek. Now they were coming to a place where the prayers of a person could be heard more than anything else. And he turned to his father, he says, "What do I pray for? What do we pray for now?" Perhaps even in the mind of the child, he understood that for days before, for weeks before, they were praying for their lives. The Jewish people then, as to some degree now, were in a battle of life and death. And they were praying for lives, but at this point, the Jewish people had been blessed with victory, with freedom from that worry. Abba, my father, what should I pray? What should I pray for? What should I say? And his father told him, he said, Asher, Zog Ava Rabba, say the prayer of Ava Rabba. The prayer of Ava Rabba. Ava Rabba means great love. The prayer of Ava Rabba, as you know, is the bracha which we say before we say Kriyat Shema, before we say the Shema in the morning. It's a bracha which speaks about, it's a blessing which speaks about God's incredible love for the Jewish people. That God was bocher b'amo Yisrael b'ava. He chose the Jewish people with love. But in that bracha, we don't just speak in general of the love which Hashem has for us. In that bracha, we say, we ask Hashem to place in our hearts, lahavin ulhaskil, to understand, to become wise, to listen, to learn, and to teach all of the words of your Torah, the Ava, with love. It's a prayer that acknowledges God's love, but it's a prayer that asks us to be able to take to the next level that love by being able to understand Hashem's Torah. Illuminate our eyes and make our eyes light up through the Torah that you give us. Avosher's father told him, ask for that. Say that bracha. Pray to Hashem that he should give you the wisdom, that he should illuminate your eyes with the Torah. That innocent prayer of a very young man expressed with great sincerity, was a prayer which certainly did come true. That child gained that wisdom, gained that illumination in his eyes. That interaction between a father and a son, altogether a beautiful thing. A parent asks, a child asking a parent, what should I be doing? What should I be praying for? What should I yearn for? Don't all of us as parents want to be able to have our children turn to us and say, so what's so important? If I have a moment, I have, as we say in the stories, if I'm granted one wish, what would I ask for? And this was what he advised his child, his dear child, to ask for. Ask to be illuminated, to be enriched with the wisdom of the Torah. It's recorded and well known that in the famed yeshiva of Pressburg, it was the yeshiva of the Chatam Sofer, on the morning of Shavuot, after the students had stayed up the entire night involved, engaged together in the study of Torah, when they davened, they would say that bracha of Ava Rabba for a very long time. The most that record the story said they said it for a full hour, praying, to be able to have their eyes light up from the wisdom of the Torah. The expression of love, which is the Torah, of love for the Jewish people, which God made when he granted us the Torah, was that he revealed to us his truth. He revealed to us the way to think. The vivid and unique privilege that we have in the study of Torah, the reason why for the Jewish people we say, as we say in our prayers on a daily basis, Talmud Torah keneged kulam, the study of Torah is equal to all of the other mitzvot of the Torah. It's the one we treasure most. It's the one that on the day that we celebrate the gift of Torah to the Jewish people, we don't just go about observing it, but we go about studying it. Is because the greatest gift and the greatest pursuit that that we as people, that we as the Jewish people seek, is to really understand the truths that are the essence of this world. The Torah that God shared with us is God's truth, is God's word. And that's something which we seek more than anything else. Torah gives us a way to understand reality. And it is really why we see Torah, the study of Torah, as being the most fundamental exercise that a human being is able to do, a human being is able to accomplish. How we think, how we approach things, the pursuit of truth and of the understanding of reality is an exercise that changes, that affects the entirety of our personality. You know that in the Talmud, it prescribes a prayer for a person to say before they enter the Beit Midrash. Yes, there's a blessing that we make before we study Torah. But in addition to that, when a person enters the Beit Midrash, the house of study, the place where people come together to study Torah, there's a prayer which is prescribed. In many of the volumes of the Talmud, the new volumes of the Talmud, which we use today, which were printed today, if you open the cover and you just look at the inner leaf of the binding, many of them have printed there this prayer. It's the prayer of Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, one of the great Tanaim, one of the great early sages of the Mishnah, who said this is how we should go about it. We should begin and we should say, Yiratzon Lefanecha, may it be the will, your will Hashem, Shelo Akosho B'Dvar Halacha. I don't want to make mistakes. I'm here, I'm coming in to study God's word. I want to get it right. This is the pursuit of truth. This is what I seek, what I want to understand of God's word. I want to be able to truly arrive at the truth of God's word. I don't want that as I enter this house of study, Rav Nechunya ben Hakana's prayer continued, that in my studies I will make a mistake and my friends will laugh or will rejoice at my mistakes. I don't want that my friends should make mistakes and that I will laugh at their failure. What's the meaning of that prayer? Rav Nechunya ben Hakana, you're coming into the Beit Midrash, you want to understand the truth of the Torah, that's understandable. Is there a side prayer, a secondary prayer? I also want to be a good person. I don't want to laugh at somebody else's mistakes. I don't want to have my own feelings hurt. It's not a separate prayer. Yes, of course. When we seek Torah, we seek midot, we seek good character. We don't want to have arguments where we're laughing at each other or taunting each other. But what he was really speaking of was that the debate of Torah, the engagement of Torah, should always have the thrust, the feeling of a pursuit of truth. When we come into an environment of one person together with another coming to study Torah, if we want to study at home, we can study at home. When we come to the Beit Midrash is a place where there's a community of seekers of truth, where people come together in that very sacred mission of trying to work together to understand Hashem's word. Rav Nechunya said, let's make sure that it's always the pursuit of truth. Because, you know, when two people get together and they're debating and they're arguing, sometimes they just want to win. They just want to be able to triumph over their friend. And that, if that's what our discussions and our debates reduce themselves to, then we have changed the very ofi, the very direction of what this engagement of the Torah is about. It's not to debate to win. It's to discover what reality is, to discover truth, to discover how to view a confusing world, and to be able to seek that truth in finding it. I had a very wonderful experience a couple of months ago. I came in to the shul, to daven, one morning, and there was a gentleman who was there in shul, a gentleman who's a good friend, who I've seen in shul for years, but I always saw him in shul on Shabbat. I didn't see him in shul usually on a regular weekday morning. He's a person with a very active business, and I figured that perhaps because of the nature of his business, which really and truly starts very early in the morning, that's why I didn't usually see him at weekday prayers early in the morning. And that morning, out of the blue, I saw him there. And after the davening, we try, if we can, that our first greeting in the morning is to God, and we don't offer full warm greetings to other people before we pray. But after davening, I went over to him and I said, "So good to see you. How are you doing? So good to see you." He knew I was so happy to see him because I didn't see him all the time. He said, "I want to tell you something." He says, "You know, I do go to shul every morning, not just this morning. But for the past more than 30 years, I've davened in the shul that I davened in when I lived in a different neighborhood before I moved to the house that I live in now. And I had a chavruta. I had a study partner. And we studied together every morning. Talmud, we studied together every morning, the Gemara. And we've done it for more than 30 years. So we did it there in that particular Beit Knesset, in that particular Beit Midrash. And we did it, and then we davened. My chavruta of all these years, he just moved. He moved out of town. So I didn't have to be with him there. So I came here to my regular shul. I came here to daven. And then he said, "But you know, God willing, he just moved this week. It's going to take him a couple of days. He's here. He's there." But in a couple of days, we're starting again. And we're going to learn B'chavruta. We're going to learn B'chavruta on the phone or on Zoom. We're going to continue. I was so moved by this. Imagine having someone that for more than 30 years, every morning, you get up early together, to sit together, to study the Word of God, to try to understand the Word of God, to try to understand His truth, its truth, to gain an understanding and a way of thinking that will ultimately transform. You know, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot teaches, "Kinei lecha chaver, asei lecha rav, uknei lecha chaver." Choose for yourself a teacher and gain for yourself, buy for yourself, do whatever it takes to get for yourself a chaver, a friend, a good friend. Rambam, Maimonides, writes there in his commentary, he cites really from one of the Greek philosophers, from Aristotle, how there are different kinds of friends. People have friends that are simply practical relationships where we do for each other, we can be helpful. You know, the expression in English is, "I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine, I'll do for you if you do for me." Friendships of different kinds and different levels. And he writes that the ultimate friendship between two people is a chaver ledavar na'ala, a friend for a higher goal. People who come together to think of and to strive for greater and higher things. A grouping, a pairing, a friendship which is characterized by aspirations, by high goals, by trying to do great, and by trying to be great. the beautiful institution of a chavruta, of two people who come together to study, the incredible presence of a Beit Midrash, where more than two, or maybe 10 or 20, and sometimes even hundreds of people come together, and they are sitting there excitedly debating and discussing the words of Torah, sitting around a table with a teacher, or sitting together with one another. Somebody would tap them on the shoulder and say, "What are you doing? What are you in the midst of doing now?" Say, "No, God told us. He told us what's right. He told us what's wrong. I want to know it. I want to understand it. I want to understand what reality is, what Hashem's word is." Every time we arrive at a conclusion, every time we understand and gain a further insight into those truths, the truths which impact our lives, would change us. What an opportunity, what a moment of gratitude. It's something that we really do best together. This community that's assembled here on this call, a community of people from many different countries, brought together by one purpose, by one experience of the past, perhaps your experience of the time that you spent in the yeshiva, in camp, or haner. I didn't understand the introduction fully because my Spanish is a work in progress, but I heard the name mentioned of Moshe Filler, a friend who we knew, were together with for many years in the yeshiva, a person who was so taken with the love of God's word that he just wanted more than anything else to be able to share it with others, to be able to share that gift. And to his credit, in partnership and with the leadership of the yeshiva and its leaders, to create a community, a Beit Midrash, many Batei Midrash in many communities in Latin America and beyond. But this community that's in front of us, of people who are coming together to understand and to study, to fulfill the verse of Az Nidburu Yirei Hashem Ish El Re'ehu Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma Vayikatev Sefer Zikaron Lefanav. When the God-fearing, when they speak to each other. Now the great Rav Chaim of Elozhin noted that in the verse, it actually doesn't say the usual Hebrew word for people speaking to each other. Then it would be Az Dibru Yirei Hashem Ish El Re'ehu. Then the God-fearing spoke to each other. No, Nidburu. Nidburu means then the God-fearing were spoken to. They were spoken to by each other. And Rav Chaim of Elozhin explained that the great moment which God looks at, which he records, which he remembers, is when people come together not to share what they think, but to hear and to learn from each other. When friends talk, and it's not to hear the sound of their own voice, but to perhaps feel like they can derive some additional measure of truth from each other, from the voice of another, from the voice of their partner, engaged together in the study of Torah. I want to close with a beautiful thought of hope from a great lover of Torah. There was a man who lived his life with the kind of passion that has brought all of us here together. He was known as, his name was Rav Yosef Shlomo Kahaneman. He was known as the Panevish Rav, the Rav of Panevish. He was the Rav of Panevish, which was a town in Lithuania that had a beautiful yeshiva, which he headed as its Rav and Rosh Yeshiva. And he was a passionate person who committed with love to the Torah, and who, sadly, his family was destroyed, devastated, massacred in his community in the Holocaust. He set about to rebuild Torah specifically and especially in Eretz Yisrael. He was a great lover of Torah. It was known that while he had to travel the world, community to community, country to country, continent to continent, in order to raise the necessary resources to be able to build the yeshiva, when he would come back, he would arrive back home after whatever weeks of travel, at whatever hour of the night, he would come into the Beit Midrash, sometimes at 1 o'clock in the morning, and there were students studying there. And he would come over and see what they were studying. He loved the words of the Torah so much. So he said something which each of you, in whatever experience you may have in the study of the Talmud, you know that sometimes the Talmud asks questions and it doesn't have the answers. We're all studying, we're all trying to derive and arrive at that great word of God. And when the Talmud asks a question and doesn't have the answer, it inserts a word, and the word is teku. Now, teku, literally in Aramaic, means, okay, we're standing here, uki. Now we're stuck. We can't resolve this question. We have to stop here in exploring this for now. But there's a tradition, a beautiful tradition of the Jewish people, that teku is actually an acronym, the way we say it in English, a one word which stands for many. Tishbi yitaretz kushyot vibayot. Teku means, or stands for, that the Tishbi, Eliyahu Anavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, when Eliyahu comes, when the great Eliyahu comes, he'll answer for us all of those questions. Now, when we read that line, which we come across every few pages of the Talmud, usually we say that that's the Talmudic expression of a shrug. We don't know. God willing, Mashiach will come, and then we'll have the answer to the question. But for now, we'll put it aside. When the Panavizhar Rav read this, he said, actually, yes, that's what we're saying. Eliyahu HaNavi will answer the questions. But we say that with the ultimate yearning. We say, you know, we ask the question. We're trying to discover God's truth, and we don't know what it is. On this one, we're stumped. We're lost. But don't worry. One day we will have the Geula. One day we will have the redemption. And Eliyahu HaNavi, whose life in many ways was patterned after the greatest prophet, Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll be there, and he'll come, and he'll be able to respond and answer us. He'll give us the clarity that we seek. And said the Panavizhar Rav, that's why we yearn for the coming of Mashiach. Why do we want Mashiach? Why do we wait for the more perfect world? He said, we wait for clarity on those questions. We wait so that we could be able to know and to understand the truth, what really matters, what's right, what's wrong, what's tahor, what is the opposite. We live in a world which is very, very confusing, very difficult to understand. It's hard for us to understand each other. It's hard for us to understand what happens, why things happen. When there's a moment of relief for the Jewish people, for the world, for much of the world, after a year of such difficulty, and then we are thrust into further difficulty. Life is confusing. The world is a confusing place. The Jewish people were given a gift. It's not a gift that's easy or that is simple. And it's not a gift that we're always able to immediately take and have for ourselves. But it's the gift of the pursuit of truth, of God's truth. The word that he gave us, the word of the Torah. And we want it, we yearn for it more than anything else. In the Torah, we find those truths. And God's greatest expression of Ava, the Ava Rabba, the love that he showed to us, was to give us a chance, to give us his word, to say, seek here and you will find albeit you may not always achieve it with certainty, but you will be engaged in your lives as individuals, as a community, in the pursuit of what's true, of what's real, of what is right. That's the great gift of the Torah, the gift that we anticipated, that we count down to for 7 weeks every year, to relive the anticipation that the Jewish people had, yearning for Torah. The anticipation and the yearning which we have today, all of us, and have had now for millennia, for the arrival of Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach, for clarity, for truth, for real understanding. May our own prayers for that be answered. May we be together the best kind of friend. One day, God willing, may each of us look back and say, oh, that person over there, that's my friend. For the past 30 years, we've been getting together, maybe every morning, maybe every night, maybe a couple of times a week, and we sit together. We try so hard to understand the truth. We're involved in the best pursuit and the greatest gift of life. V'ha'er einenu b'toratecha. May God illuminate our eyes. May he light up our eyes with the truths of his Torah. Chag Sameach.